RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Black Friday Val, and
you are a racist.
I know.
Bean!
Racist Val, and
oh, I missed you so much, I swear.
I know. This has been it's two full weeks pretty much.
No, not really.
It was last Tuesday.
We did a Monday. We didn't do a Wednesday or a Friday. We didn't do a Monday or Wednesday. So it's about a week.
Okay.
About a week of no dark to light.
And what a week indeed.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I've been doing Periscopes. I don't know. A lot of people aren't on Twitter. I got a message in Subscribestar the other day. Somebody saying, did you guys stop doing the podcast? I didn't get the memo.
And yeah, I've had quite a few people ask the same thing there, too.
Yeah, it's basically, she's like, I didn't get a notification if you did. And I felt horrible because I didn't go on, you know, those places. I just assume like an idiot that everybody follows me on Twitter. Which is not the case. So it was my bad. And I apologize to anyone who's been like, okay, where is this download? What the heck is going on? In case you didn't know, last Tuesday, my house and everything in it burned to the ground. And I don't know how else to say it. So that's how I'm choosing to say it, because it was, Frank, it was one of the most horrific, horrible experiences. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have lost their homes to fire.
Yeah.
A lot. And so if you're one of those people, you understand what this feels like. But I got to tell you, the amazing support and love and kindness. I have talked about this on Twitter a lot, and I will share the Periscope I did yesterday and the first one I did so that people can watch them, so that I don't spend all of this episode just going through my emotional stuff. But honestly, people are amazing. Frank, people are so good.
Yeah, I mean, and well deserved too. I'm happy that this is this was the result of something so awful, because I didn't learn about it until I saw people in my chat room talking about it last Tuesday, maybe about 10 minutes before I went live. Everybody was like, oh man, I'm just, you know, hope Tracy's all right. And I'm like, what the hell happened to Tracy? And then I went to your Twitter and I saw the picture. I said, What the hell's going on?
Yeah, it was.
Especially since it was broad daylight, Tracy. It's not. I was like, how could this even happen?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. I had just gotten back from a doctor's appointment. There were so many things that happened that day that were like God was just like holding our hands, like things that we did differently we'd never normally do. Like people had, like Will had his wallet and his keys in his hand because we had just come home. You know, there was all kinds of things that had just, because he grabbed the dogs and just threw them in the car. It was a brilliant idea. Brilliant. Yeah. And it was crazy. Like I didn't have any outlet. Like my neighbors and I and my mom and my dad and my sister and Will, and we just all stood there watching my house just burn to the ground. The whole upstairs was gutted. Everything, all my work is gone. Everything, just everything is gone. Like literally all of our clothes, everything. Yeah. And the fire department took like a little over a half hour to get there. And I think that was really the main reason why we lost so much. And there was no outlet for me. I my phone had been in the fire. I didn't have it. I ran out of the house with no shoes on. And like, I didn't have the things that I needed to be able to outlet. And so finally, after all of it, the fireman brought my phone out and we were able to like suck the water out of it and get it on. And I had 2FA on all of my devices and I couldn't remember my password. I was just a big mess. I finally got on Twitter. The only thing I could think to do was to tweet to get some kind of like virtual hug from people.
Oh, well, listen, it came in spades, I think.
As oh, my far gosh. As,
it was wonderful to see. Well deserved, even though it's just so this, you know, who the hell, you don't want to see anybody go through that. I don't wish that on my worst enemies.
This community is the most amazing. You guys out there, I can't explain to you in words what you've done for me and my family. it is such a life-changing experience. Like, through all of this horrible stuff that's happened over the past week, me and my husband and my kids are, we're so optimistic and grateful. And I was able to get back to work within 2 days. I went out and bought a laptop. This stupid microphone wouldn't come. That's why the podcast didn't happen. But I was able to get back to work. I mean, I literally dove back into work like 2 days, not even 2 days later, because we're in the middle of a catastrophe in this country. And God, if it weren't for you guys out there, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I woke up, I stopped a fundraiser the night of, because I had no idea, Frank, if I would need it. Like, I didn't know what my insurance did. I had no idea. I was just like, I don't want all these people donating money if I can't, if I don't need it, especially right now around the holidays. It just didn't, it was wrong. So I stopped it. And then the next day when I was able to sort through some stuff, I was like, oh shit, I'm screwed. And I did a GoFundMe, which has absolutely blown me away. I have no words. And
I just hope that you guys, now you get to just rebuild with your it's a very rare opportunity in this chaos to be able to rebuild your home now with your profession in mind. So I'd love to look. I can't wait to see what your home studio is going to look like now that it's not just a, you know,
a room.
Not just a room. You can actually build it to specifications.
Yeah, and I can soundproof the floor, and I can soundproof all the walls on the outside and the inside, so landscapers, you know what I mean? There's so many things that I can do there. And not only that, but, like, starting over from scratch, like, literally not even having underwear or bras, but we know we don't wear them in the quite frankly, podcast room anyway.
Never.
Never. Not having any of that stuff even, and then having to start over from the very beginning as though you were, like, literally had just left the womb and had no earthly possessions. It's kind of like sickly liberating in a way. Like, you don't need to go out and buy all the trash that you never got rid of. You know what I mean? Like, you can be very particular about what you place inside your home.
And all the stuff that you knew that you needed to get rid of, but you didn't have the heart to do it. It was done for you.
Yes. Yes, it was. You know that junk drawer that you just couldn't clean out? Well, you don't have to clean it.
It's gone. Anyway. The drawer's gone too.
But we got things. We got, like, my gosh, I'm still looking for my wedding band, but we got my engagement ring. That was huge. My grandma's china, I think I'll be able to salvage some of that, which is huge to me. Photographs. I had just compiled them all into Ziploc bags by year, because I was making scrapbooks and I had to put that project aside because of how crazy work got. And I had them all in these Ziploc baggies in another bag underneath, and like a deskish type thing that I had, and they were completely unscathed. Like, nothing ever happened. That was everything. And I think even some of my books that were under that same thing might be okay. So there's little things here and there. The clothes are all gone. There's no hope in them. But there's so much positive that came out of this, and it's all because of everyone out there. And I can't thank everybody enough. I'm not doing it justice right now, Frank. I'm really not. So I need to make sure that
there's no real way to articulate that kind of level of gratitude. People swooped in when your life was incinerated. And like I said before, the first night is that the immediate silver lining is it should be the greatest thing in the world just to have to worry about how you're going to replace the inanimate objects in your life, because for every member of your family to be safe was the most important thing.
Yes. Yes. And again, middle of the day, we smelled something and we're like, Will was cooking on a cast iron pan on an induction grill. And I thought it was just the way things were interacting with one another. So we were like, oh, that smells weird. Wow, that's weird. And then I'm like, something's just not right. And I glance and I see flame shooting off the back of my house through my door. And I open up the door and the whole back wall is on fire and it catches the furniture that I have sitting in front of it. And that was it. It was over. I mean, flames, the size, like there was nothing we could do, like literally nothing. My dad came at it with a fire extinguisher. It was fruitless. We looked at each other and we're just like, get away. I screamed at Will, get out of the house, call the fire department. Like the billowing smoke, the news caught it here in my local area. There were pictures. People were driving by for days afterwards to look at it. It was.
Yeah. Can imagine.
But. Again, the emotion of it all is not my. I need you guys to watch what I'm going to put in the show notes today to understand progressionally how this is, because I can never thank you guys enough for everything that you've done for my family. It's just I can't. No words. So that all being said, it's time to get back to work, Frank.
Well, the work is the, with that being said, work hasn't stopped for you. I know that you're working on some very significant historical projects right now. So
yes.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the, we could start, you know what we'll do? Well, I put out a call on Twitter for people to send anything they've seen online in regards to election fraud to a certain email address. And once we, you know, it was a Proton Mail address that we established, and General Flynn had pinned that tweet. And we got like almost 15,000 emails so far, since last Saturday. And so we have been hard at work at collating all that information, filtering out duplicates, inputting it into a spreadsheet. We've had help from different groups that like 1A Praetorian is helping us. And we've got volunteers that have stepped up to help. And so, it's about, you know, there's a good chunk of us now going through all this. And in the midst of that, I'm kind of like piecing through it for very specific things that will be helpful as we move forward. And all of this kind of lends itself into the Kraken that was released by Sidney Powell and team on what, Wednesday? I don't mind the Roomba downstairs, the Roomba's going off.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, no, it's okay. Remember, I'm sitting next to a boiler, so yes, there's
yes,
too.
Yes. So these lawsuits, have you gotten a chance to read through any of these yet?
I did. You know what I was able to do? I was able to read the that really awesome summary done by Doug Ross this morning.
Yes, that's great. But I'm telling you, Twitter has now banned the link to Sidney Powell's website as dangerous. That tells you everything you need to know. And for anyone that was saying that these lawsuits weren't going to be anything and they, but you know, whatever, blah, blah. I'm telling you right now, these lawsuits are absolutely bombshell. There are two as of today, one in Michigan, one in Georgia. Both of them kind of take separate pathways. The Georgia lawsuit encompasses a whole lot of stuff. It's like six different tracks, and each of the tracks is a different avenue of fraud that's been committed. And there's evidence of this fraud inside of the complaint. Yes, evidence of the fraud, particularly in the sections of the lawsuit that deal with Matt Brainerd. Do you know who that is?
No.
Matt Brainerd is like a data guy. I'm just going to pull up his Twitter so I can give you his exact bio. That right after the election, he put out a call to crowdsource the data analysis of all of the weirdness that had gone on because he realized it. He's the executive director of Look Ahead America, former data chief and strategist for Trump for President. He took this on. He started a Give, Send, Go because GoFundMe kicked him off after he had already raised like $500,000. And he crowdsourced almost $750,000 to do this work. So he hired his teams. He got everybody up there. And he found in all these swing states using the death registry, the Social Security Administration reporting, the you know, change of address, all the legal governmental documents that would prove certain things. He was able to prove specifically in Georgia that people registered with their people, if they're real or not, we don't know. And I don't think they are from his research. They registered to vote at P.O. boxes and strip mall addresses.
Like, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So that's in the Georgia lawsuit. It's like 13 or 14,000 votes right there. 100% of the voters who disguised a postal facility as their residential address voted absentee, with nearly zero voting on Election Day. There were over 1,400 earlier absentee voters registered to residential addresses. And there's more. There's even more. You know, that's not it. There's 1,000 votes that were cast with P.O. boxes disguised as apartment numbers.
I saw that's the one thing I specifically read, the P.O. boxes disguised as apartments.
Yeah.
And this is on the heels of people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying Georgia is a very blue state. Everybody's moving to Georgia. Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, just historical data does not hold up to scrutiny here. Not only that, but in that lawsuit, we're going to go back to Brainerd in a second. But in the Georgia lawsuit, they talk about this pipe burst. Now, Lynn Wood has been focused on this pipe burst as well. I have a feeling these two lawsuits will be enjoined. That's the way it looks, because they do cover a lot of the same ground, even though Sidney Powell's introduces others. So if they enjoin them, they'll both be together and they'll be on one complaint, basically. But the pipe burst didn't happen. They used it as an excuse to kick the poll workers out and keep just three individuals in there to go ahead and do whatever shenanigans they were going to do. And yes, Dominion does make an entrance into this Georgia lawsuit, but it does not make as powerful of an entrance into Georgia as it does in Michigan, which, if you ask me, Brainerd stuff in Georgia, the real hard data of fraud, it is incontrovertible, this work. There is nobody that can deny it. It is hardcore evidence, and there are affidavits, and there are poll workers in Georgia who, during the recount now, not the regular vote, witnessed them bringing in pristine ballots that looked like they'd never been even touched before in the audit. It's all coming out in the wash. There is no logical explanation for any of this. It is dozens and dozens of people swearing under oath that they've seen abject fraud in Georgia, literally witnessed it. And any judge that gets this and punts it to an appeals court, and then any appeals court that punts it to the Supreme Court, is going to be sorry. Because this Supreme Court, especially with their ruling Saturday, is a set. No, I'm so messed. It feels like Monday.
I know. But still, I mean, this is always the weirdest weekend in the year. You have Thursday off, then there's this Friday. What do I do with this Friday? Do I work? Do I not work?
Yeah, it's very strange.
And then it's the weekend again.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
But yeah, that's see, Tracy, I mean, the whole thing here is this. I'm very, very happy, and especially since I saw the Supreme Court circuit assignments, I feel better than I have about most things. But, you know, it's still just the environment we're in that keeps us on edge. There's a bunch of unknowns.
Yeah.
The clock keeps ticking. The media is obviously a part of the scam. This is, and then of course there is the social upheaval. There's a lot of people who believe, we are it's in the bag. We're fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting. Yeah, it's like we're sitting on top of a powder keg.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be bad. And I don't think anybody cares how bad it is if we get the rightful result that it's the rightful result. And, you know, the Supreme Court, with Gorsuch's statement about New York the other day, in his opinion, I'm very confident that what they're seeing. I'm just confident in the Supreme Court.
We need four more like him. He's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to the country in 25 years.
Yeah. Now you look at it, right? So we've got Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett, right? Those are our five stalwarts.
Yep.
Justice Roberts can go jump off a cliff at this point because he's a useless person. And so they all did the right thing in over the weekend, and they're all... you know, I don't care what you say. These people are human beings, and it's not like Justice Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh don't have an axe to grind with two of the people on the ticket on the other side of the aisle.
Indeed.
You can't. I'm sure that. Listen, just in my own personal, like, I can picture this in my head type of a thing. Can you picture Clarence Thomas just like sitting at his desk, like tapping?
Oh, waiting for it.
I mean, to exact revenge all these how many years later, 20, 30 years later on this guy who did this to him.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the reason why. Because if you look at the rulings, especially from someone like Clarence Thomas over the years, there's the reason why he's been hated. There's a reason why he was not included as an inductee into the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. He's been snubbed and called an Uncle Tom and all this stuff. It's because he is a constitutional judge. And he is very, very solid when it comes to understanding the American tradition, civic tradition here, and what his role there is. With that being said, he's never shown. They're always very good at not showing their bias, unless of course they're liberal. They're progressive, like Kagan and Sotomayor. They love to wax poetic because they're all so impressed with themselves. But. This is a situation where absolutely I think that there is a double delight for or going to be a delight for Thomas to take on whatever is about to come his way up the circuit courts, because it's a the right choice. He does not need to invoke any kind of personal bias to make a decision on what's going on here. So number one, it's the right choice. But as a little deep down inside cherry on top, he also gets to stick it to people who are wholly, wholly inadequate to and unqualified to even be breathing free air, let alone
the guy
be in a
can't
race
even
like
say
this.
Psalm.
Yeah,
I mean God,
no. palmists,
for goodness sakes. So that's Georgia, right? Then there's Michigan. Frank, if you have a minute today. I shared a portion of a document on my Twitter. I was reading through all the exhibits because there's like 20 of them. And there's the numbers go from 1 to 10 and then like start at 103 because they submitted a lot of these exhibits under seal. And that to me means a lot of proof is living within them. And especially, I mean, you just have to assume that some of this stuff is for protection purposes. And it's been alluded to several times.
Right.
That some of this is because they're trying to protect these witnesses who are bravely coming forward. And here we've got, I'm just going to read this. This is from a guy named Russell. Oh, what's his last name? Hold on. I linked to the whole thing. I want to tell you guys his last name because he's from, if it ever loads, let's go, people. Come on. I guess it's high traffic here. Oh, Russell James from Allied Security Operations Group. Mm-hmm. This is the people that Patrick Byrne was talking with us about. This is the people that I knew. Remember I told you that I knew who he was talking. This is the fine. He says this in it. There's a huge document with all of the anomalies and all of the ways that the Michigan vote is absolutely impossible, scientifically and physically impossible. This is what he says. The final red flag is perhaps the greatest. Something occurred in Michigan that is physically impossible, indicating the results were manipulated on election night within the EMS. The event as reflected in the data are the four spikes totaling 384,733 ballots allegedly processed in a combined interval of only 2 hours and 38 minutes. This is physically impossible given the equipment available at the four referenced locations. We looked at ballots processed and cross-referenced the serial numbers and types of the scanning devices used at each location to determine the amount of ballot processing capacity per the equipment performance specifications. The model DRM 16011 processes 60 images per minute without accounting for paper jams, replacement cover sheets, or loading time. So we calculate 2,000 ballots per hour per machine in field conditions, which is probably generous. The circulation yields a sum of this calculation yields a sum of 94,867 ballots as the maximum number of ballots that could be processed. It should be noted that the event of a jam in the counter is not reset. The ballots can be run through again, effectively duplicating them. This was noted in Ms. Carone's affidavit, a Dominion contract employee working in Detroit. The existence of the spike is indicative of a manual adjustment either by the operator of the system or an attack by outside actors. In any event, there were 289,866 more ballots processed in the time available for processing in four precincts than there was processing capacity.
You just tweeted that out not too long ago, right?
This morning.
I just read that page before we got on. That's
That's evidence of fraud.
Oh yeah.
Proof. It's proof of fraud in enough ballots to overturn the election in Michigan to President Trump. What? Where is all the naysay? And you know what? I've been reading all the Twitters. Come on, Joe Biden won. He didn't win fairly, but he won. Let's move on.
That's Will Chamberlain.
I can't believe he said that.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind, dude? What the frick kind of weasel is that?
No. I got real mad with that one over the weekend. That's the kind of pussy shit we have to deal with. Meanwhile, the left is willing to. The Russia lie was a hill the left was willing to die on
for years.
3 years. For 3 years, they were willing to die on that hill, a complete lie. And meanwhile, this is going on in front of us, and we're just like, we take people like Will Chamberlain takes the aw shucks approach.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
I filmed voter fraud. I was involved. Yeah, well, you threw down your battle shield and you surrendered on your knees to the other side. So I don't care what you filmed on November 4th. It doesn't matter. Now, one more thing in Michigan. Michigan's very all these cases are strong. People are bitching about the typos and stuff in the Sidney Powell filing. Two of them, there was an OCR issue, it appears, where like things were translated incorrectly when she scanned them in. But there were grammatical issues in the Georgia filing. It doesn't matter, guys. It really doesn't matter. Is it nice to have a pristine filing with no grammatical error? Yes, but not when you're working against a time clock that is like ever ticking away from you and you need to make a substantial case for the greatest. We keep saying the greatest scandal ever perpetrated on the American people. But the past 5 years have been
one after another.
And here, Michigan. Biden achieved 97% of all additional new votes above the 2016 election total and achieved 151% more new votes than new registrations. He gained 3.2 new voters to every one new Trump voter and achieved in all 40,771 votes statistically anomalous in Wayne County and some 46,125 votes in Oakland County.
Tracy, I put it to people this as I was watching some of the clips from the Pennsylvania testimony.
That was the next place I was going, but yep.
On Wednesday, the clip that made everybody laugh. It was just so stupid, where Giuliani brought in a witness to talk about some of those voting spikes, and over the course of maybe like 90 minutes and stuff like that. Either way, he's talking about the voting spike that came on in a total of close to 700,000 votes, like 650,000 votes. Out of all those hundreds of thousands of votes, only 3,200 came. Total.
Sorry.
I know out of like 300,000, there's only like 100 or so that came in for Trump. But out of like 657,000 votes, 3,200 came in for Donald Trump. Everybody just started laughing.
It's so laughable.
A couple of the reasons. Number one, if you think about it, Pennsylvania, as it stands right now, there's only like a 50,000 vote margin. They literally could not give Donald Trump more than 3,000 for every 600,000 they gave Biden. Joe Biden, because he would have still won.
I know.
That's how much he won by.
I know.
Okay, so the math is just so literally, if they did not have the media, they couldn't even try this. They would have just had to say, we have to find a way to survive another 4 years. We can't do this. But they have the media. They have all the networks with them. So they just said to hell with it. The other thing here, too, is Tracy, is just the other things you got to remember. Joe Biden lost more American counties than even Hillary Clinton did in 2016.
But only in those few counties where he needed to, he beat Barack Obama's performance.
This is what I'm saying. He got more of the black vote from Detroit than Barack Obama in 2008, the year that the first black president was voted into office. I mean, the fact that he lost more counties than Hillary Clinton and just got 10 million plus and counting more votes than Barack Obama in 2008 in general is just like, guys, come on. Now, I understand that there are people out there who absolutely, and this is what we're really dealing with. You're dealing with people who do not care. They have been told that they are living under Hitler incarnate, this and that. He's a this, he's an ism, he's a phobic this, he's a that. He wants to kill everybody. So, I mean, people are so insane. They seriously do not care. Many, in their heart of hearts, know something was not right about this election. Something big. Something very big, and they just don't care because it falls what they believe to be in their favor, even though nobody's going to benefit from the kind of politics that they're trying to usher in with this this gaggle of creeps that are surrounding Joe Biden. Nobody benefits from that. If you think you're getting your health care, you're getting better health care out of this, you're a dumbass.
Straight up.
Oh, man.
Before we move on to the next portion of things I wanted to talk about today, Frank, we have a new sponsor at the podcast, and I'm so excited about it.
Wow, wait, who?
It is BitTrust IRA. If you wanted to add Bitcoin to your retirement account, how would you go about that?
I have no clue.
So crypto is so confusing for a lot of people, myself included. I own it just because I think it's a great investment opportunity. It's very volatile. However, these guys can help you out. If you want to like diversify your portfolio, a lot of people have done gold. You can now do crypto. They present the best opportunity to build generational wealth since the discovery of oil. And Bitcoin has actually been one of the best performing assets of 2020 thus far. And I can contest that, or attest to that, I should say, because I've watched it myself. BitTrust IRA helps you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. They store your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. That's important because if you know how Bitcoin works, if you lose that wallet key, you're in trouble.
Done.
They have a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investment and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions, and the lowest trading fees in the industry. Go to bittrustira.com/darktolight today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Dark to Light listeners, a $50 value. That is bittrustira.com/darktolight, bittrustira.com/darktolight. Thank you, BitTrust. I am on my way in there.
Maybe I can learn something. I don't know anything about crypto.
Crypto? You know, crypto.
Nope. Not a bit.
Oh my gosh. It's crypto. So, Pennsylvania hearing we can go over. And you know what? I have a surprise for people. You know what I did yesterday?
What?
I recorded about a 25-minute or so interview with Joe Flynn.
You know, I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to read it. I know it's going to be good, so I'm just going to read it on my show tonight. I saw Mike Flynn's published statement on Uncovered DC. So, very excited about
that. You know, that was the biggest honor. He came to me and said, "Hey, Tracy, I'd like to publish my statement at uncoverdc.com. And I said, sorry. What?
Please. Amazing.
I said, "General, it would be my honor to publish your statement at uncoverdc.com. And there it lie, right at uncoverdc.com. NBC News was forced to link to my website.
Good.
It's just wonderful.
To hell with them.
And it was a neutral platform where he could post that and just, it's there on a hosting platform that will not deplatform anybody named Epic. So there's that. But before we get to that, the pardon aspect of things, because there is a lot I want to break down about that, if you don't mind.
Well, go ahead.
We'll talk about Pennsylvania. What did you think about the job that Rudy Giuliani did in PA?
I was talking to a few friends of mine and saying, you know, I don't know about, I mean, maybe he will insist on being there, you know, to be working this in the courtroom. But this is definitely the man's swan song right here.
Yeah.
I mean, 76 years old. It's really astonishing the kind of energy and attention he has brought to it. Sometimes don't know if he's, you know, he's coming off of a bender the night before. But I'll tell you one thing. It this is his swan song right here. I mean, how much bigger a task can anybody who practices law in any country really take onto their shoulders than something like we're talking, what we're facing right here with this election? And for him to do it after already such a long storied career.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my perspective.
Yes, he is definitely a ball of energy. That's for sure. He's doing podcast episodes up the wazoo on YouTube, by the way. And this hearing was incredible. I mean, you know, nobody. And let me tell you something. It set the stage for things in several different ways. So you've got I was listening to this on Friday. I did it again. What day was it of the week? Monday. What day was the hearing?
That was
Wednesday, Tuesday.
It was Wednesday.
All the things blend together.
It was Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday. I brought it up. Yeah.
Wednesday?
I think. Pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, did you interview Patrick on Friday?
No, today.
Oh, today. Oh.
Yeah, so I got to talk to you after the show about that a little bit.
All right. Well, he called me right after the fire, too, by the way.
He's been making the rounds.
Yes. He has a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Making the rounds, for sure.
So, PA hearing, this was setting the stage for the elector portion of things, right? So, yeah, there's the cases in Pennsylvania, which the judge in Pennsylvania just said to them, stop it. Stop doing all this certification, whatever you haven't done already, stop. If you stop perfecting the certification, you know, stop it. Because there's something awry here. The Pennsylvania lawsuits are strong as well. You can't deny that you know, there's something weird going on here. You just can't. So the PA hearing was basically the faithless elector hearing, where these are the electors. They have to determine what they're going to do when they get to the Electoral College. And the speeches alluded to that fact. What are we going to do when faced with this astronomical evidence of fraud in chain of custody issues, missing flash drives, first person testimony, they were physically assaulted. What the hell? What are we going to do? It is our duty.
Faithless electors is another thing I'm worried about.
Where, though?
I mean, I don't know. There's five. First of all, God knows how many states we have going on here.
Arizona, Nevada. Yeah. Jesse Banal has Nevada, and he's confident that Nevada, as per him on Twitter, is going to go well. So it's Nevada, Michigan. It's Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Six states.
And how many does the president actually need out of those six? Like three?
Three.
Okay.
He could do Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. He could do Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona. He could do Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin. North Carolina was smart. They got out while they could because they were going to pull the same shit.
Oh, yeah. All you got to do is give it a couple of hours, days. They're going to find it.
No, but they called North Carolina for Trump.
Yeah, I remember that. Did they call Alaska yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, they got Alaska. And so it's like several different pathways to 270 for him. So faithless electors where?
No, I'm just thinking, I don't know. You know, 2016, they talk about, oh, we're going to make them go faithless. Well, I mean, that's not going to happen. But they've created, the only reason why I say that I worry about it even in the least bit is because the media has, and of course, I mean, everybody involved, but they have created so much distrust of the situation already And they've definitely set the stage for accusing Donald Trump of committing to a coup d'etat, which we know that's just an inverse of the reality. That they might also, as another failsafe, be trying to give a backup reason for people to go faithless. Look at what has been done.
Well, I think that the people that in the states that are in contest right now, if the court decisions don't go the right way, will possibly do that in favor of President Trump.
Right. Yeah, there's that too.
That's what I'm looking at it as, right? So look, they see all this. They see what's going on. If they have a set of balls on them, which very few do, but if they had a set of balls on them, they'd do the right thing when it comes to the, look, we could be sitting there December 14th and be like, holy crap, what just happened? None of the, I'm not worried. All the states that they had any power in are already in Biden's column, which are like three.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Texas is going to decide to go for Biden at the Electoral College. Just, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Right.
There's that. It's not over, guys. Day.
No, no, it's not over
and
at all.
And then last night, this clip of President Trump, which I'm going to pull up. I said the second term's going to be lit because finally.
I mean, they have Biden beating Obama at Obama's vote in areas that mattered in terms of the election in swing states. And yet he's losing to Obama all over the place. But he's beating Obama in swing states, which are the states that mattered for purposes of the election. So, no, I can't say that at all. I think it's a possibility. They're trying to look between you people. Don't talk to me that way. You're just a lightweight. Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way. All right, I'm going to go with another question.
Yeah, no, they deserve to be. Those who should not be in jail. The little lackeys, the little toadies that show up and they just want, you know, they don't actually have any institutional power, but they're employed by CNN or MSNBC or Huffington Post. And they're just little twerps. They should be treated like little twerps and they should be completely castigated.
Do you see a little mask picture they took of themselves?
Oh, yeah. That was just on retard levels of cringe.
Yeah, okay. I did a thing this morning to show the ratio on this thing. It was insane. Like they have like coffee filters on their faces. They're all like
exactly
38,500 comments, 9,957 retweets. Caitlin Collins, Caitlin KAITLAN. You know, one of the little snotty girls on the playground who had good markers in class. That little snot. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Awful. Just awful.
Horrible people. All these, you could tell that the Biden supporters are scared now because their responses to my tweets are a lot of people's tweets are so frantic. They're not even like, come on. You know, they used to be a little bit more even tempered, even though they were snotty and bitchy and nasty. Now they're just like flat out crazy. They're frantic. They know that they know it. They know it. And President Trump is confident and he should be. I think I think we're going to win this, Frank. I really do.
I am watching the process and I know what is over and what is not over. It's not over. I mean, and things are moving along. And like I said, the Supreme Court assignments to the circuits.
Yeah.
That's also there just waiting too, but it's on top of that. You're talking about solid airtight cases proving fraud.
Yeah. And they're there.
And what's going again? Is this some kind of like something that's lost in interpretation or something like that? No, the only thing that is working against this being a known verified fact that is then pretty much seen its day in a courtroom and from there applied in everyday life and actually we actually see the result of it in the election like we should have in the beginning. The only thing standing in the way of that is that there is a group of people in the media, and of course, the people who are complicit inside of the government and always have been there, and in, on the international stage as well, because this is all part of an international scheme. It's just them saying, oh, no, it's the opposite. It's just it's what is verifiable versus what is being projected and said.
This isn't true. That's all. That's all it is. This isn't true.
That's all they say. It's the Leslie Stahls. No.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Nobody spied on you, sweetie. No. Ugh. Oh, Mr. President. No, Mr. Trump. No. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
That's what we're up against. The passive aggressive moomers.
Ugh. Gosh. Just horrible. So let's move on and talk about the pardon. So there was rumblings the night before. There were like leaks, people saying like, you know, oh, President Trump is going to pardon General Flynn and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then the next day, what happened? He was pardoned by President Trump. And I got to be honest. I'm just going to be honest. I think I said this to Joe in the interview we'll play in a second or, you know, I said, I don't know if I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it because he can be free and relax and do what he's got to do and not worry about it anymore. And I'm happy about it because of the statement that the White House put out about the pardon. I don't know if you saw that. Did you?
Yeah.
It's a pardon of innocence.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead and continue with what you were saying. I have a couple of thoughts on it, too.
Yeah. But the Justice Department came out and said that they were actually kind of disappointed about it. Because they wanted the ability to be able to set the precedent on this, that this isn't okay. And they thought they had a strong case. Now, my biggest thing was that what if Judge Sullivan dismisses these charges without prejudice? He talked in the hearing about waiting until a Biden administration and then them bringing the charges back. They talked about it.
Yeah.
So, what do you think, Frank?
I understand, and I know just especially even just as of a couple of weeks ago, Sidney Powell saying, please do not pardon him because he's innocent. He's going to be let off and needs to be exonerated.
Yeah.
But at you know, at this point, you look at the election results. I always go back to the election results, regardless of what these very, very unfortunate people who actually went out there and voted for Joe Biden thinking they were saving the world. There are people out there who actually believe that.
I know.
That they voted for Joe Biden because the world needed to be saved. But outside of that,
isn't it?
Yeah, no. But outside of that, we know that that their numbers are an illusion and that the president, he has the most to gain from this election by just knowing – look at how the majority of the country that's behind me. And with that majority that came out and made themselves known in the election, they also know that the media is corrupt, the government, the executive agencies are corrupt, that Michael Flynn was targeted. Anybody at this point who still thinks that Michael Flynn is some kind of a criminal, they're just not curious about even reading into the laundry list of evidence that points in the other direction. So you're not winning anybody else over. And I figure, well, if you're the president, you've got your mandate from the real results of the election. And Sidney Powell's she's going to be pretty busy over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't leave anything up to chance. This is a man who deserves his freedom. And anybody with eyes to see who wants to see can see that he is he's in the clear and he did nothing wrong and he's only served his country faithfully for decades. So I'm totally fine with it. Seriously, it's going on long enough. And Sidney Powell's got much bigger fish to fry right now.
Yes, the Flynn family statement was powerful. And I'm not going to read General Flynn's whole statement because it will be in the show notes. You guys can go to uncoverdc.com where it is proudly posted and read it there. I never thought, Frank, in a million years when I started Uncover DC, and this was kind of like what struck me when I got this call that he wanted to do this and bestow this. Like, I have, you know, this, even friends of mine have like yelled at me for being so obsessed with it. I've been obsessed with the case of General Flynn for 4+ years. I mean, everything about it, everything from the Farrah stuff to the, from the day that he pled guilty in, or it was announced that he would be pleading guilty. And even before that, when they were doing the whole time, and I was sitting there. If you would have told me when I started Uncover DC 2 years ago that a globally recognized figure in one of the biggest scandals in our country's history was going to come to me and say, Tracy, I would like to publish my official statement about my pardon from the president on your website.
Just wonderful. You know, it's a big honor.
Look at what we're accomplishing, guys. Like, look at what we're accomplishing. This is not just me. I mean, look at what the way we're reshaping some of the people we've had on this show, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So don't be discouraged because we're doing some amazing stuff out there. I mean, it's really something else. Just saying. So this was the Flynn family statement. And then we will, I guess we'll wrap it up for today and we'll say we'll call it back on Monday.
Oh, indeed.
Indeed. This was
a
really
big Monday.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it's good to be back.
I miss this. This is my favorite thing to do. It's all because of you, Frank.
Well, I was waiting faithfully.
I was on your show the night my house burned down.
Yeah, I'm happy for it, too, because it was all very new news, and everybody wanted to make sure you were all right, and there you were. So
I don't remember.
It was good.
I don't.
Well, you did fine. Okay. From memory, you did fine.
The Flynn family is an American family, and like all American families, we love our country. We believe in the Constitution of the United States and that justice in this remarkable republic must prevail for all citizens equally and always. We believe that our right to freedom and liberty are God-given and that we will fight for these rights until the bitter end if they are unjustly denied by any government institution or individual. For 4 long years, our family and millions of American patriots stood arm in arm together with our brother, General Michael T. Flynn, fighting the vicious, deep-rooted corruption of government institutions and vengeful individuals intent on destroying General Flynn and our country in shameful defiance of justice and the rule of law. Those individuals have disgraced the United States of America. The perpetuation of this political persecution of General Flynn was further fermented by Judge Emmett Sullivan's refusal to dismiss the fraudulent prosecution. Judge Sullivan's inactions are a reprehensible assault against the Constitution and will live in infamy the world over, and is as is his legacy. Today, the Flynn family is grateful to President Donald J. Trump for answering our prayers and the prayers of a nation by removing the heavy burden of injustice off the shoulders of our brother Michael with a full pardon of innocence. We thank President Trump for recognizing our brother's sacrifice in this battle for truth, our Constitution, our Republic, and all that America stands for around the world, a true beacon of liberty. We are forever appreciative to President Trump for giving back to Michael his freedom and undoing a hideous wrong. Michael's determination and resilience in the face of this battle exemplifies his decades of dedication to this nation as a soldier and leader of men and women in service, protecting the very rights he was denied. Let our nation never allow this violation of an American civil rights under the law happen again. Our nation is at a crucible moment in history. Let it be heard across this great country and around the world that tyranny will not topple us. Masks will not silence us. Threats will not stop us. Evil will not triumph. We are Americans. We stand on the shoulders of the greatest forces and heroes of bravery and courage the world has ever known. That is our legacy and our obligation to defend now and for generations to come. The Flynn family joins all Americans and families and patriots in this fight for our rights, our values, our way of life, and our republic. May God bless President Trump, his family, and all families during this very important American tradition, Thanksgiving Day. It is truly a time to give thanks. The Flynn family wishes everyone a happy Thanksgiving and God bless America.
Wonderful.
That's just beautiful.
Yeah, just wonderful. Good way to end. And happy Thanksgiving to all.
Happy Thanksgiving to all. We will be now playing the interview with Joe Flynn that he did with me at like 6:30 yesterday morning. And we will be back on Monday. So we'll just do the close of the show now just for giggles. And then, you know, we'll play the interview. You've been listening to the newly renovated Dark to Light podcast with
Black Friday Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday, friends.
Later.
Well, I am joined by someone special today. Mr. Joe Flynn is joining me. Hello.
Hey, Tracy, how are you? First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Yes, thank you so much for joining me on an early Thanksgiving morning.
No problem. I love having covfefe with you. It's always good.
I've got my covfefe as well. It's been a hell of a week. So yesterday, the news came down, Joe, that President Trump had given your brother, General Michael Flynn, a full pardon. And I didn't know whether I should be happy or not at first, you know? Like, what did you think?
Well, I thought I was happy. Of course I was happy. The reason I'm happy is because it frees up General Flynn to do what the American people need him to do now, which is to actively be involved in reinstating President Trump to his rightful position as a duly elected president of the United States. So for that reason, I was very happy. But it did remind me of how disgusting and how broken the judicial system, particularly in the District of Columbia, where our federal government is. It reminded me how broken it is, and reminded me of how despicable the actions of Judge Sullivan were in not dismissing a case that the prosecutors dropped almost 6 months ago now. And it shows, and I hope it's a message to the American people, how important elections are and how big the consequences of elections are and how what we're up against with this fight with the left and the war that they're waging against average Americans and the Constitution. So, it was a mixed bag of feelings, but for Michael and for Lori and his immediate family and all of us, you know, we're obviously thrilled that the burden has been lifted.
Yeah, it's huge because, you know, the pardon, first of all, means that they can never come back after General Flynn again, ever. And the reason why that's true is because, as we know, they searched through the man's entire life looking for anything they could prosecute on and found absolutely nothing, because you're a good, upstanding family who cares about the country and has dedicated your lives to serving it. But the DOJ issued an interesting statement, Joe, basically saying, we're sorry that this happened because we thought we had a really strong case. What did you think about that?
Well, it was very interesting. Well, a couple things, Tracy. Number one, I believe this is, and I don't know this, and maybe someone could do the research on it, but it's my understanding that this is the first time in American history that someone was pardoned where in the case that they were up against, the charges were dropped. because it's also another precedent here is, you know, this was a Rule 48A motion when the prosecutors dropped the charges. And it's the first time that in American history that a case didn't end up being dismissed in a Rule 48A motion. So there's a number of precedents here. The other interesting thing, and I just got this from General Flynn himself. I was on the phone with him this morning. He said, you know, if you read the White House's statement, it's a pardon of innocence.
Yep,
we're pardoning the guy who's innocent, which is, again, a first time, we believe, a first time in American history.
Yeah, so I was going to bring that up because the statement from the White House really just put the icing on the cake for a lot of people like me, because it was so exculpatory. Like, the whole thing was basically like he didn't do anything wrong. This was a completely political persecution. Forget prosecution. Right. And, you know, I got the DOJ's standpoint from this. Like, this was so egregious, Joe, that my interpretation of their statement was, we want to make sure this doesn't ever happen again, and we wanted the precedent.
The unfortunate thing with this pardon is that it does sort of tell judges, hey, by the way, you can pull these shenanigans, and a pardon will be for, you know, if you don't like somebody politically, like in the case of General Flynn, clearly Judge Sullivan didn't like his politics and maybe didn't like Sidney personally and maybe General Flynn personally for whatever the hell reason. I don't know. But that if you don't like somebody's politics and you're a judge, regardless of what the prosecution says, in the case of, you know, dropping charges, you can still pull this kind of nonsense and drag a case out unjustly. That's a problem the courts are going to have to deal with. The Supreme Court in particular is going to have to deal with that.
I'm curious. It does. And it's not good. You know, that's why I could sort of understand the DOJ standpoint from there. But then again, they had months to do something. They could have done the writ of mandamus with you guys instead of jumping in after.
Exactly. No, the DOJ, first of all, in summary, okay, from the very beginning up until the end, the DOJ did an absolutely piss poor job on this case. They knew the original crew knew that they were doing something essentially illegal in the prosecution and persecution of General Flynn. And then when Barr took over and got involved and Jensen got involved, they did the right thing in dropping the charges. But you're right. They kind of were chicken shit. Excuse my language.
Oh, whatever.
In not issuing writs of mandamus in conjunction with Sidney, but also over the last 5-6 weeks since Sullivan did the hearing, they could have issued another writ of mandamus. They could have issued a writ of mandamus if they really wanted to force the appeals court to make the decision. And the appeals court is also a disgrace in Washington because they told Sullivan to act with dispatch, which means with speed.
Yep.
And they didn't do jack shit, to be honest.
I'll never forget what Judge Gleason, the what he was saying in that hearing for hours and hours. Like, they did the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do. And I'm glad that this is finally over because nobody deserves justice more than General Flynn and the Flynn family. I don't think there's been a more egregious case of malpractice in our judicial system ever. And again, it frees him of any worry for the future, because I was concerned that Sullivan was going to dismiss without prejudice. And that would have meant any Biden, God forbid, or any swamp creature could come back around and charge him again for the same thing with Turkey or whatever. I haven't gotten to speak with Akeem yet, but he's got a case ongoing in the criminal court right now.
Yeah, I believe that is exactly what Judge Sullivan was going to do. I think in the end, what he was going to do was probably going to wait until the inauguration of a Biden administration, which we know now, you know, God forbid, will happen. But he was probably going to wait for that and then dismiss charges with prejudice, which then would immediately allow a new attorney general from the Biden administration to go after him and everybody else. I mean, to go after Trump, which, you know, believe me, they'll do if they get power. They will absolutely go after Trump and his family.
So
and the president knows that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty scary, actually, what will happen if we are not successful in these challenges, which are all with merit. There's not. And we'll shift gears a little bit here. So Sidney Powell released the Kraken last night. And
yep.
I swear, I'm up at 2 a.m. reading lawsuits. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I unfortunately, given it's all the other stuff that's going on in my life, I haven't got a chance. I briefly read the summary that somebody did this morning. I'm waiting for you to put your stuff out when you can to just, you know, dive in and give us some insight into what she's saying. But It's outrageous and incredibly damning, right?
Well, she's basically charging Joe that Iran and China accessed these voting machines during the election.
I wouldn't doubt it. Knowing Sidney and having spent the last 2 years working with her on her motions and her filings, which were all incredibly well done and, you know, read like novels, she's not messing around here, Tracy. She's not messing around.
I know. She's very brave, and the entire country is owing her this debt of gratitude. She just passed 1 million followers on Twitter, and she is her link is blocked by Twitter now this morning, Joe. You cannot get to her website from Twitter this morning. That's how scared they are of this thing. And I'm not one of those people, Joe, that says, oh, yeah, they're scared, so they block the link. But this, I can understand it. Now, I will say, I read it. You can tell that she was putting this together in a very quick manner and that the evidence is overwhelming. Yeah. There's some spelling, grammar issues and stuff that people are like latching onto. Pish posh.
Yeah. Well, we don't have, you know, like I keep telling people, the analogy is, you know, we're in the fourth quarter of a basketball game and, you know, we're 15 points behind with about 7 minutes left. Actually, I think I said that at 15. No, we're probably only 10 points behind now. We've scored a couple of 3-pointers. Rudy and team did a really good job in Pennsylvania yesterday. And what Sydney's put forth is going to blow, if it doesn't blow the doors off of a decent, honest judge in Georgia, then there are no decent, honest judges left in the state of Georgia and Michigan.
Agreed. And the interesting thing is, if this all comes down to the Supreme Court, you know,
right.
What do you think about that? How do you think the Supreme Court and those justices that are sitting there at the, you know, with the gripe they have against the people that have done some things to them in the past, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think we now, thank God, have a Supreme Court with a majority of people on it that are pro-Constitution, that are strict constitutionalists. And if they determine, based on the chicanery that took place in multiple states, that this election was thrown or was defrauded, then I believe that they will take specific action. And I'm not quite sure what the remedies are or the action is, but these people are very strict constitutionalists, just like we saw last night in the state of New York, where they bitch slap Cuomo.
Yep.
Right? And expect more lawsuits around people's constitutional rights being attacked by governors. I think that you're going to see suits from California about COVID. You're going to see suits from a lot of Democratic states. They're going to say, "Wow, look what the Supreme Court just did in New York," and so I think they're going to get flooded with those types of things. But hopefully, the Supreme Court will focus on the elections. And what I've learned from this experience of working with Sydney on this is that election law takes precedent on the docket because of the urgency, right, of it. Because you got, you know, you either have a new administration or the existing administration, so. You know, the evidence of fraud is overwhelming. The media wants to pour, Pat Byrne keeps saying it, and he's right. The media wants to pour cement on it as quickly as possible. Sidney Powell is a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, they're talking about Rudy Giuliani making presentations on his baseless conspiracy theories. So you're telling me that, you know, some of these people that testified yesterday, former Navy commanders, Army colonels, these people are baseless conspiracy theorists. I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming, and the fraud is there, and people are behind this, you know?
Yeah, and there's no, I mean, just the chain of custody issues and the fact that there are 46 missing thumb drives from the, I mean, it is overwhelming. And I think there's a couple different strategies going on here. And let me know what you think. I think that they're also priming these electors with these hearings to do the right thing. You know, they're bound to do the right thing if all else fails, right?
They really are. And it's going to be up to a couple different things. Number one, it's going to have to be up to honest judges. And hopefully all we need is two or three of those. You know, if one of these states unravels in the sense of, you know, Sydney's allegations around and evidence around the tinkering with those machines. If one of the state unravels, any state that had those machines and had similar issues has to unravel as well, right?
Yep.
I mean, one state can't. Yeah, there's no way around it. So that's one issue, and we're going to have to see honest judges. And secondly, we're going to have to see electors that have some.
Balls?
Stiff spine. Some balls, exactly. Stiff spine. You know, brass balls in this case.
Yes.
And I'm a little concerned about that because some of these legislators, you know, are anti-Trumper Republicans. I mean, I'm a little worried about that. I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, it would be a last resort, but technically you'd only need two states with some guys and girls with some balls to be able to do the right thing. There are pathways here. It's not just one. So
there are several pathways. Exactly. There are absolutely several pathways. And this is not over by a long shot. And I can tell you, based on the information that I have, the president is not going to be giving up anytime soon. And he shouldn't.
Nope.
A lot of people around him are telling him not to, and he's agreeing with them, especially after Rudy's performance yesterday in Pennsylvania and Sidney's dropping those cases in Michigan and Georgia last night.
So let's talk quickly before I let you go on this Thanksgiving morning about what happened last weekend, I think it was, with this Jenna Ellis statement. And everybody collectively freaked out. But at the end of the day, it didn't really mean anything, right? I mean,
well, no, it didn't mean anything. It was a clarification of roles, I think. Sydney never signed an engagement letter with the White House for good reason. It frees her up to say and do things that the White House isn't really free to do, like attack a Republican governor in the way that she's attacked Governor Kemp down in Georgia. Sydney is still actively working with the White House as well as with Rudy, but she's taking a different track. She's focusing on Dominion. She's focusing on certain states where Dominion had some egregious problems. And in some of those cases, Republicans are involved. And so that's a much Sydney being free to do that is better for everybody versus, you know, having to go get approval from the White House every time she wants to go after whatever politician from whatever party has been involved in this kind of chicanery. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. And I just want to say for the record, I think they could have done a much better job with their statements, just from my personal perspective. You don't have to comment.
Well, everyone's moving at warp speed, as you know.
Yeah. Right?
I agree. I mean, you know, but
They're doing their thing.
That's not the priority, I guess.
No, not at all. I mean, but the people out there, Joe, are completely on edge. It's not even a case of like, so it just threw people for a loop. It really did. But
no, I know. I just don't think people should focus on that. I think people should focus on really, really what everyone in your audience should do is read the filings, listen. If you get a chance, go back and listen to the hearing yesterday in Pennsylvania. If you're sitting around tonight instead of watching Black Lives Matter supporting NFL players or some nonsense like that, dig into what's going on. Dig into what's going on in those filings, because this is the most important thing in your lives right now and for the future of this country. Make no mistake. This, if you thought the Ukraine thing was a coup, this is a coup.
Yeah.
And if we don't stop it,
this is it.
We could be done forever.
Yeah.
That's it.
This is literally the last election if we do not fix this now. So
yeah. That's right.
Well, Joe, as always, I really appreciate you and everything that you're doing out there. I wonder if you ever thought you'd become like a constitutional scholar on election law, but I.
Well, no, I didn't. I did not at all. I never. For most of my life, I wasn't even paying attention to this.
Welcome to the crazy crew.
I know. Exactly.
Well, we appreciate
you. Thank you very much. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope you guys recover soon from your house. And I know that's a big burden, but you know, you guys are great people, and I'm sure you'll get through it.
Well, thank you, Joe. And we're okay over here. We're hanging in there and very busy, so that always keeps your mind off stuff. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for talking to everyone out there. We'll see you soon.
Okay, God bless.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.